Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 92 of Gorilla Radio Show. I'm one of your co-hosts, Greg. As always, I'm joined by the lovely Austin and the absolutely dashing Chandra. Introduce yourself.
Dashing?
I am dashing.
Yeah.
He's dashing. And you're lovely.
And you are lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm Chandra, y'all.
Nice this should be you. Our podcast. We should just compliment each other for an hour.
You know, Greg, you're absolutely getting a fit off.
Thank you.
Can you do a little twirl for the audience? Can you show off the Panther swag?
Let me do a little.
Yeah. Absolutely. Ooh, kill him. Ooh.
Swagged out.
And looking skinny,
King. Keep pounding,
King.
Baby. Thank
Keep
you,
pounding.
Buddy.
We're going to the fucking Super Bowl.
We're going to fucking Super Bowl.
I fixed Greg's webcam, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might notice. Again.
You know, everybody, a few weeks ago, Austin came to visit me in Asheville so he could go watch a bunch of trans people play music at a bar that he didn't realize was the only trans bar in this entire city.
That's not the...
Can't be the
Asheville,
only trans
that
bar.
Is not the it only is trans bar. Bar
it is,
trans
it is
bar.
Quite literally the one.
Asheville,
anyway,
your
it was
game
a great turn.
Your transphobia
It was a great
showing.
Time. So Austin walks into my office, and he looks at the webcam that has been hanging on a nail behind my monitor.
Nailed to the wall.
For the last, I don't know, like 5 or 6 episodes we've done. And he goes, don't you know that this fits on the monitor? And he just picks it up and takes the little stand and perfectly places it on the monitor. Folks at home, I didn't know that.
He had
I didn't
it
know
nailed,
that was how you did
he
that.
He crucified his fucking webcam. He didn't know it just... goes on top of the fucking monitor.
I crucified the fucking webcam. And so for the first time, everyone at home, you don't have to look at me from a weird Dutch angle anymore. I'm in line with everyone else because the
camera it's like we're sitting in a row.
Be. It's kind of like we're on everyone's second favorite podcast, the Joe Rogan Experience. Jamie, can you put that on the screen, please?
Exactly.
Well, it's not like the Joe Rogan podcast quite yet because we are
you're
not
in like 240p right now.
Yeah, we're not in person.
It's fine. It's normal
be fine
in
on the
pod
recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to be in person. We need to get a studio. We need to record
we
in person.
We should
we
get
need
studio
a really,
in the
we need
like,
to get like a really fucking
you guys
expensive table.
Need, you guys need like to send us more money mail. If you want us to
Make
do in
person
episodes more.
We
like if you
a,
want us
like,
to do the shit full time.
Mm-hmm.
Start spending that money, baby. Patreon.com/gorilla radio show.
Patreon.com/gorilla. Real talk, I think the three of us would love to do this kind of shit full time. So, like, you know, if you really want
to
make that.
I would love to have a fake job real time. Yeah,
I
duh.
Would love to
yeah,
have a
fucking
fake
duh.
Job. Nothing
I
more in my life would I love.
This. I would love to do this. Let us be a combination of Chapo, Cumtown.
No,
and
no, we're not
Planet
doing this.
Earth.
Where you know it's, the thing is like I feel like Chapo Cumtown is a little past their time, you know. Like
Chapo makes $175,000 a month.
Okay, but you can't. But no,
but
it's not that they're past their time. It's that other guys starting a podcast trying to be like Chapo, but for X is that's
for
that's
Chapo.
Done.
If
that's
you really think about it, but if you really think about it, Austin. We are Chapo for primates. We've been doing this for like 4 years.
Yeah, but I think we're low key.
And we have not made
$100. We're low key more different.
We haven't made
$1,000. I don't think we're Chapo. I don't think we're Chapo for primates. We don't say slurs.
I'm not going
to
correct that, Greg, because
we need to
the
make
IRS is listening.
$1,000 a month. Help us.
$1,000 a month would actually be really nice.
$3,000 a month would mean that none of us need to really worry as much.
Still gotta go to work though.
$6,000.
That's really the thing that like.
For $9,000 a month. $9,000
a month, we quit our jobs.
We can quit our jobs. $9,000. At $9,000,
start killing people.
We can quit our jobs. We can start killing people. Chandler's gonna call in from an episode one day. He's like, "So I live in Dubai."
Yeah. And you know, and then the next episode, I'm gonna call in and be like, "They put me into slavery, y'all. They put me into white slavery.
They put you into white slavery.
Are you white or are you not?"
The only
you like to know,
songs they know are
Dago.
By the Lumineers.
You and I have the exact same skin tone right now.
Okay. We have to actually talk about some of the stuff I want to talk about this episode,
though.
None of what we've talked about sets me up, so I don't have a segue. So I'm just going to go straight into...
92 episodes, every single one of them has mentioned white slavery.
we're really into white slavery.
We're down 1,000.
last month's bonus episode, patreon.com/gorillaradioshow, by the way, we watched the movie Spymate.
It was not good.
Which was a series, not good, not a good movie.
It was really hard to get through it. I'm going to be real
with
you all.
It was an atrocious film. Everyone.
There was series, this was a part of a series of movies featuring one chimpanzee who they trained to play, not play hockey, but to ice skate, and convincingly enough for some camera shots, ride a skateboard, and probably some other things. So, for some reason, we didn't find this article when we were preparing to make an episode on this terrible, terrible movie, but someone, one of our viewers, don't remember who it was, I'm so sorry, it's been a month, sent this article from the New Dork Crimes, actually.
The New Dork Crimes? My favorite paper of record.
And I do gotta just say, we hate the New York Times for their historical and ongoing manufacturing of consent for the worst excesses of the last century of American power
Empire.
Projection.
Mm-hmm. Are you reading
but
this
by
exactly?
God, can they write an article about a chimpanzee?
Hell yeah. What is it? What's the title of this article? Awesome.
So, I'm not actually... I have to look at it through an archive because I'm not paying for fucking New York Times, but... The headline on the page, at least, is "These chimpanzees starred in a hockey movie. Their lives are much different now."
Okay.
So by Peter Bao. Peter Bao. Baltimore. Louis is perched on a hammock at feeding time, his brown eyes peering through the fence. He has a prime view of the back sidewalk at the Maryland Zoo, hidden from the public, where keepers walk between the chimpanzee and leopard habitats. From here, he can see when food is coming. Louis' primary trainer.
Riveting.
Aaron, New York Times, you know? When they got it, they got
Times,
it.
Folks.
Louis' primary trainer is Aaron Dombrowski. We're going to call this guy, or this...
Dombrowski.
Whatever. We're going to call him Broski. Broski reaches toward him with a slice of pineapple, and he eagerly grabs it through the fence. Oranges are his favorite. They make him grunt with excitement. He's just like Greg.
They do that.
He's just like Greg, folks.
It's I've gotten part of my project that I did as an intern at the chimpanzee place was I was trying to record unique vocalizations of chimpanzees, like distinctly in discrete categories, basically. And there was this one where I've got just a bunch of these recordings called corn grunt or like food grunt, where like if they saw like an ear of corn, they'd start grunting. If I can find the file, which I have somewhere, I'll play it. But
when he's finished eating, Louis craves more attention. He puckers his lips and makes kissing noises at Broski. That
oh wait you missed the previous sentence where he says
well,
that the chimp
it
ate
like
it skin and all, but he ate the orange skin, the pineapple skin and all. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that wacky?
That is kind of wacky. I guess I didn't realize
wacky.
I would have yeah I guess yeah okay sure fuck that chimp whatever man whatever
some,
fuck this fuck the peel. Fuck the peel.
Some primates, non-human primates, genuinely do not care and will just eat like an orange straight through the peel, apparently pineapples too, if I'm reading that right. But many of them will just sort of like...
They will flay
like,
off.
Have you guys ever seen that video of the monkey
Can
peeling
you do that
a banana?
Again for us?
No. Have you ever seen that video of the monkey peeling a banana and it like peels off the little stringy bits and just throws them on its baby? They're just like us.
Oh. I'm watching it now.
That is not a chimp behavior, says a disapproving Pam Carter, the chimpanzee forest area manager, watching a few feet away. He learned that from being with humans, obviously referring to making kissing noises and smooching at the trainer. Louis, who turns 30 in December, spent chunks of his first 14 years in the entertainment industry. Raised by a California-based couple who trained him and other chimpanzees to perform, he starred in at least 4 movies, playing hockey and custom chimp-sized ice skates in 2 of them, MVP, Most Valuable Primate, and its sequel, MVP2, Most Vertical Primate, both part of the Air Bud franchise. So around the time that Most Valuable Primate debuted in theaters, the chimpanzees provided intermission entertainment at NHL games, skating in gloves, a helmet, and yellow MVP jerseys, one of which now hangs in Dombrowski and Carter's office. The film maintains a small pocket in hockey pop culture. Plenty of fans are at least aware of its existence. In a recent episode of Sportsnet's popular 32 Thoughts podcast, host Kyle... I don't know how to say that.
Yay,
it doesn't matter. Don't listen to that guy's podcast.
It's some fucking Greek
thing. Nah, that's our podcast. If I've ever seen one.
Bukowskis.
Referenced how a goal in the movie was similar to Matthew Schaefer's first in the NHL. Damn.
Who is Matthew Schaefer, Austin?
Yeah, Austin. Can you use your extensive?
You actually watch hockey? NHL? So you're gonna knowledge? Have to doubt.
I'm not. I don't know who that is.
Fake Sabres fan?
Fucking fake fan, dude.
No, he's on the Islanders.
It's crazy how Buffalo has professional sports teams.
He's on the Islanders. It's different. It's a different team. It's a whole different thing.
It's in the same state.
On the other side, I don't give a fuck about the New York City sports.
You just eliminated half of our listener base. They're all in Williamsburg right now.
Apparently, Matthew Schaefer's first goal is him just like diving through a pile of dudes and like slapping it in, I guess. I don't
Austin,
know.
You love diving through a pile of dudes. Tell us
so
about
true. Yeah, yeah. Can you
speaking
give us,
of
like,
which, Heated Rivalry, now streaming on HBO Max.
So he wants to put this episode up unedited, everyone.
Louis' brother Bernie and another chimp, Mac, shared the lead role of Jack in Most Valuable Primate. 25 years after the film's release, the animals are long removed from wearing hockey gear, but the impacts of their show business days linger. The lighthearted hockey movies came with a cost.
Do you want me to read next?
Yeah, sure, you read.
Thanks. Glenn Winter, cinematographer on both MVP movies, remembers his jaw dropping when he arrived on set in 2000 and saw one of the chimpanzees on the ice for the first time. The idea of Most Valuable Primate was no longer theoretical. These young apes were actually able to skate by rocking back and forth to propel themselves forward. Through cutting and weaving clips together, the movie's editor was able to make it look like the chimpanzees, who moved slowly on the ice, were actually playing full-speed hockey. Why don't you tell us a little bit about anatomy of a chimp real quick?
I would pay for, like, the Snyder cut of this movie where it's just the chimp really slowly moving across the ice, like...
Shambling. You know they were freaking the fuck out.
Well, like, dude, what the fuck is going on?
This is probably a long shot. You've been to a couple of hockey games, I assume you've been to a couple of hockey games when you were little. I've been to a couple of hockey games when I was little. In all my time going to the Hurricanes, I've never seen a chimp on the ice. Have you ever seen a chimp on the damn ice, Austin?
I have not, no.
The article talks about, like, this. There being, like, a promotional stunt where they, like, had monkeys on the ice.
Hold on. NHL monkey... NHL chimpanzees on ice. Chimps on ice. Oh, my God. Wait, hold on. Two chimps stars of the Viennese ice show? Well, no, that's West Berlin.
I've got a video from AP of Jack on the ice. He's actually pretty good. He moves pretty quick.
Yeah, wait, he's not actually that slow. He's just kind of going.
Interesting.
This is actually at a fucking hockey game, it looks like. This isn't a clip from the movie. There's an audience.
Yeah, this is a hockey game.
They really brought this motherfucker out.
I'm watching a Facebook clip.
I am also watching it on Facebook from Gino Hard.
Yeah, I'm Gino Hard.
That's what they call you.
Are we sure this isn't? Well, it's from 2019, so it's probably not AI. But he's moving really good.
Well, my video that I have has an Associated Press watermark on it, so I'm inclined
this
to
this one
trust
too.
It.
He moves better on damn ice than I do.
Okay.
Scene.
Yeah, actually, that was kind of embarrassing. I'm gonna put that clip up also of you skating.
Say that?
Yeah, you know, you were really bad.
I was really bad.
It's like not that complicated, man. Just like rock back.
I don't have. I'm scared.
Get over it. I don't know. You're scared you're gonna fall down.
Fuck it. Let's log into Facebook. I'm liking this video.
Glenn Winters, cinematographer on both MVP movies, remembers his jaw dropping when he arrived on set in 2000 and saw one of the chimpanzees on the ice for the first time. The idea of most valuable primate was no longer theoretical.
Awesome. This is where this is what Greg read about.
This. I just read this.
Yeah, Greg was saying that it was the editor was able to make it look like they were.
I, dude, you know what?
Just in case you guys missed it.
Just in case you missed it.
Chimpanzees' feet are wide at the top, but narrow at the heel, which makes them...
Were you unsure of the word top?
It was a weird word to choose there.
It could have been toe.
It could have been toe.
It could have been toe.
Well, I mean, he usually seems pretty nervous around tops, but...
Which makes them a poor fit for standard skate sizes. Hockey equipment manufacturer CCM, which provided jerseys for the movie, designed pairs of custom-made tacks, a top-of-the-line skate model that combined a size 3 junior skate with a size 8 toe cap, according to production designer Brian Davey. The company sent its newest version to the skate of the skate to set.
Can you not read?
There was a lot of S's. The chimpanzee-led films were created by Canadian. Yeah. Okay, we talked about this in the bonus episode. It's made by the Air Bud guy. Air Bud is the Air Bud guy. Yeah.
It's insane that there's so many fucking animal movies in the Air Bud franchise, and none of them have anything to do with Air Bud other than there's an animal and he does something cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the entire... I mean, that's literally the basis of Air Bud.
Is Spy Mates part of the Air Bud franchise?
It is, but it's... I think it was just like they ran out of sports they could teach this fucking chimpanzee and they just wanted to make a different movie. They thought of a different name-based pun for the title and had to make a movie based around that, I think, is what happened. Occasionally, the animals grew tired of filming. One time, a chimp darted for the boards at the small rink where they were shooting for the first movie, climbed over the glass, and leaped into the rafters in under 2 seconds.
That's bad because he's got, like, knives on his feet.
Yeah, you should not have done.
Yeah, he's dangling up there and he's kicking at you with fucking blades on his feet, literal blades.
You know that
scene in Blades of Glory with Will Ferrell where that guy gets his head cut off by the
Blades
ice skate?
Blades of Glory? Yeah. What the fuck are you talking about?
You never seen Blades of Glory, dude?
You never seen Blades of Glory? You know what, dude? You don't
get to count as white.
Yeah.
That's a white people movie, dude. You've seen it. All right. If you
I'm not
Caucasian,
see, I'm
seen
I'm
it.
Looking
We're gonna
at
skate
this
to one
movie,
song
right?
and one song only.
Is that where that's from?
Yes.
Oh my god, yeah.
So wait, okay. This movie is insisting that it was in fact three different chimpanzees that they used variably.
Okay, so it wasn't just Jack, Louie, and somebody else?
Yeah,
Bernie
wait. Okay, so we were wrong in our bonus episode. We thought that it was just one chimp they trained to do all these movies, which I thought was unusual because usually they have several chimps because, you know, you can't get one chimp to do all that. It's just not feasible. Apparently, they did get several chimps, but they taught all three of them to ice skate? That seems crazy to me. Maybe they only taught one to do the tricks and the others were just stand-ins.
Maybe they just threw them on this ice and they figured it out.
Maybe. I mean,
how long do you think you could leave a chimp on the ice for like 45 minutes and eventually he's got to figure it out?
I can only hope that the chimp would die.
Jesus.
Have you ever... None of them are good.
This guy seems like a sweetheart.
Chimps are born with an original sin that cannot
be baptized.
Jack
the chimp seems like a little sweetheart. I will say... I don't know. It seems like they're implying several chimps were taught to ice skate for this one movie. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think at least Louie and Bernie skated.
Yeah,
because,
they're manufacturing consent.
No, not Bernie, I'm sorry.
Right now.
What are they manufacturing consent for in this article?
Chimpanzees being cool.
All right. I think you just read... We read about this chimp dangling from the rafters.
Right.
We talked about Bernie and Bernie's the oldest.
Hold on a second. Bernie, the oldest of the three chimpanzees sharing the movie's lead role, further confirmation, was 6 while acting in the first movie and 7 in the second.
Six, seven.
We're gonna die.
I have, so, you know, because 6-7 is a thing and I'm a teacher, I obviously have the 6-7 brain worm. But I'm over it now. It's fine. I've recovered. I made a full recovery.
It's actually, I'm done with it. I'm done.
I think everyone's done. I think, like, you know, maybe the little kids like it, but I think most of the kids are.
There was an article that came out like today or yesterday saying the 6-7 trend was racist. So I don't know if we're allowed.
There was an article the other day that I read, a Substack post about 6-7 is, you know, the trivialization of Black Death, and I read it and I was like,
right, that's what I was talking.
Yeah,
about.
That sounds right. And then I kept it pushing.
How?
And it's about killing people. It's about killing black people.
Is it?
Well, you know, rappers like to
reference.
It was
a drill rapper.
I thought it came from like some fucking like TikTok video of like some.
No, it came
basketball.
From a song.
Well, you see, all songs are
TikTok
videos, and all TikTok
videos
are songs.
Songs are
TikTok
all TikTok.
Yeah, songs are. I listened to Pimp a Butterfly the other day, on the drive home. And it's like they don't make music anymore, man.
They don't make music. They don't even bother trying to make music anymore. They just make TikTok clips.
I'm listening to Untitled Unmastered because I'm different.
A scholar. Okay, so Bernie was the oldest, and he was only 6. But when he was on the set, they said that there was a tangible tension in the air because they thought they knew something could go wrong at literally any second. They said it was the threat was looming. So like you could tell this chimp was like making like short little movements, you know.
Barney was on the edge.
Jamie Renee Smith played one of the young human protagonists in Most Valuable Primate. Recalls spending time with 4-year-old Louis, the youngest of the chimps. And she says she remembers the chimpanzee's long fingers and the texture of their skin. She never felt afraid. It was like a friendship, she says. They knew who I was and they liked me. We were buddies. Maybe because it was the youngest chimp. Could have been scary.
Little baby chimp, yeah. It's crazy to put a 13-year-old in a room with a chimpanzee and be like, okay, act, okay.
Right, that's why we don't do it anymore.
Go yank
obviously.
On that chimp's foot and put a skate on it. Go yank, go pull on that chimpanzee a little bit. See what happens.
It was a different time, okay? They hadn't invented woke yet. 9/11 hadn't happened.
Yeah, this was pre-9/11.
Everybody thought Al Gore was going to be president. Things were different. Things were looking up for America.
So Judy McAleef began working at the Houston Zoo 15 years ago.
Can you stop real quick and say that last name one more time for me?
I don't know. McAuliffe?
McAuliffe.
Okay, that
makes I've never
sense.
Seen this fucking
McAleef.
I don't
McAleef.
Know. Some bullshit.
For it's
everyone
a bullshit
at home
name.
Some
who's
patty
never heard
nonsense.
A word.
It is.
It's
okay, so Judy McAuliffe began working at the Houston Zoo 15 years ago, shortly before Mac moved into its new chimpanzee habitat. Why are you calling Mac an it? Anyway, she says, I don't watch that stuff. It breaks my heart. Fair enough.
Yeah, true.
Nowadays, primate use in movies is rare. Don't we know it, lad?
Yeah.
As the years go by, we learn more and more about just how problematic it is that these very smart, very social animals are raised by human beings and not by chimpanzees. It affects their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that they say that and don't mention the main thing that made everyone aware that this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
What do you think of back again real quick? When you said, why are they saying it's because you don't understand English. Began working at the Houston Zoo 15 years ago, shortly before Mac moved into its new chimpanzee
The Houston
habitat,
Zoo's
into
chimpanzee
the zoo's
exhibits.
New chimpanzee
Yeah, I guess. I thought they were talking about, like, the
you
chip.
You failed degree. Your English test, Austin.
No!
Go
no!
to the principal. Go to the principal. We're going to call your mom.
It's up to interpretation
We can
sometimes.
Make this better in my office right now if you want.
Yeah, we can get you that A.
We can get you that
Shut the fuck up, man. All right.
Did you ever get propositioned? Have you ever been propositioned?
No, your whole he's never been propositioned.
He has to have been propositioned. I've been propositioned. He
well, maybe by like somebody unseemly on the streets of Chicago. Have you ever been propositioned by somebody unseemly on the streets of Chicago?
It was in a gay bar in Chicago, but it wasn't. Oh,
that's
streets.
Happened to me, buddy.
Oh yeah.
Unedited, by the way.
There's when I was with Austin at a gay bar in Chicago, he got propositioned. Just straight to his face.
No,
that's
what I was. Yeah, that's yeah. What I was talking
yeah.
about. Yeah,
let's have a threesome.
because he won't approach women. I tried at the bar in Asheville.
Well, it's not like women are approaching him.
He was like, "Dude, no,
no,
I can't."
Okay, hold on. Since we're already editing, I can you were not like, "Dude, you should go
full
up and talk to that girl."
Texting him.
You were full brightness on your phone, texting me in front of me, like. Dude, isn't that girl hot? You should. Do you want to have sex with her? And there was a guy.
And she
the
was,
guy
and
standing
he did.
Next to
she
her,
was, she
looking
was,
over your shoulder,
did.
Watching you type that. And we made eye contact, and I like took your fucking phone away.
This was after I had already spilled a beer on the ground.
After you had already made us look like a jackass by spilling a beer.
McAuliffe, as well as the keepers working with the other MVP chimpanzees in Oakland, Maryland, doesn't consider the Lyles to have acted maliciously by raising and renting out chimps. But the zoo employee says the primates' owners likely didn't know the developmental drawbacks that come with private chimpanzee
Right,
ownership.
This was who we were talking about when we found that Skate magazine article about the owners of the chimps, like the talent managers or whatever, if you want to call
the
them
Taliban.
That.
All right, let me see if I can get some more information on them. Lyles, chimp owners.
No, it was in that article we read in the bonus episode.
Yeah, Greg and Carol Lyle.
Yeah. Gotcha. So because they didn't spend their formative years in a troop, all 10 Houston chimpanzees were naive to group life. We know this. We know. Bernie was never around adult females that were engaging in this behavior. So none of them knew how to breed.
Oh. They don't know how to fuck.
Who does that remind you of, everyone?
Damn.
No, that is something that happened at the chimpanzee sanctuary where...
They didn't know how to fuck?
No, yeah, Greg
does
didn't know how to
come
fuck.
Does that naturally?
Wait, no. So are the monkey moms teaching them how to fuck?
Does that not come naturally?
No, but like
we all knew how to fuck.
Is there like chimps?
But,
is there like
but,
weird
okay,
chimp incest mom son porn? Like, let me teach you how to do it right, son.
Why are
and
you
then, like,
thinking about
come
that?
Come fuck me. Come. I don't
Why
know.
Why are you thinking?
I'm
about
saying
that?
Weird shit. I'm
we
saying
have to
weird
edit out
shit
so much.
We gotta edit that
Let's
out.
Let's leave it in.
Sure.
Just leave it in. Just leave it in.
You sound like a fucking pervert, dude. Like, not even in, like, the fun...
I sound like a pervert once or twice? You guys
it's
are allowed to be like,
perversion.
Oh, this is so hard. Austin's like saying, oh, this is so hard. And Greg's like, oh, I got something hard for you. And it's creamy. It's going to go down your throat. But
I'm
allowed to make a couple of off-color comments?
It's
fuck
not
you, Greg.
You're like, oh, you know what? Like, my favorite thing, mom
how
and
to
son
fuck.
Porn.
I don't
it's a popular type of porn. It's one of the most
for
popular
who?
Types.
For who?
Okay,
not for me, I'm just saying.
First of all, it is stepmom and stepson, all right? It's
Are
not, it's
you
not direct familial
yourself,
relations.
Huh,
no.
You know what? Fuck y'all.
I almost said something
but
crazy.
But I believe, I don't know the exact mechanism through which chimps learn how to fuck, but I do know that like
Is
we've witnessed...
Innate?
When chimps grow up isolated like that, at least specifically male chimps, they don't know what to do with their dicks.
Did you discover jacking off, like, organically?
You know, when
I
was...
along with this. I'm being serious.
When I was younger, I Googled how to jack off.
Cameron, it came to you naturally, right?
I don't fucking remember, man. It was like 18 years ago. Why would I remember that?
It doesn't come to everyone naturally. You know how many
people were giving themselves Indian burns
on their dick?
Old?
Yeah, I was pretty fucking advanced for my age. What can I say?
Who else told you that?
I'm reading an article on Live Science Plus about how they do this, but it doesn't. While men often prize youthful partners,
I mentioned this like. Early gorilla radio show, but there was an instance where Greg, the chimpanzee, was laying down on his back and a female, I don't know who it was, sort of monkey barred her way over him, like directly dangling over him, and lowered her vagina onto his mouth to try and like have sex with him, and he didn't really know what to do. Oh. He just sort of like stood there like, gosh.
Wouldn't have happened to me, I'll tell you guys that much. Well, I suppose $40. They couldn't have gotten him a fucking how-to book.
And the crazy thing is, in though, 2020 but like, money. But they knew how to jack off. Is the thing like I know for a fact they knew how to jack off. So what the fuck is?
You're watching.
Yeah, this
jack
is weird,
off?
Actually.
Remember your first time? It was awkward.
I guess.
Now imagine you can't speak English. Or any language, for that matter.
Yeah.
And you're trying to be like, I'm sorry, I'm going to figure, I'm sorry. They can't do that. They just
I'm sorry, it gets bigger. Just hold on.
No, it doesn't. That's it. I'm running out of pee-pee.
Okay.
Who the fuck said that? Who was that?
I don't know, man.
It's not Shannon Sharp. I know, it's somebody else.
So
there's somebody on a show like that.
Hold on, wait a minute, hold on. Bernie was never around adult females that were having sex, so he didn't, you know, he didn't know how to have sex. Louis, though, joined a troop with females raised by other chimpanzees, and, quote, they showed him the ropes,
I see.
And
like
he has a daughter.
From the Lion King.
His daughter. Wow.
Is there like a ethical gap in like taking this completely naive chimp who doesn't know how to have sex and just like, dude, is this?
That's not cool.
I don't know. We don't want to.
Is it unethical to fuck Steve Carell and the 40-year-old virgin? Should you
I
be allowed
so,
to do that?
I think he was like in that movie, like he seemed a little developmentally disabled. So,
I mean, he worked at Best Buy for Christ's sake.
I worked at Best Buy at the low bar.
I mean, like, look at
we
Greg,
should,
y'all. Like,
we should do an episode.
Would you have sex with Greg? Like, at like a moral level?
I think a lot
level?
Of our viewers would. I think a lot of our viewers yeah. would.
A lot of you should be
you
fucking ashamed.
Like
a lot
Trump,
of you
like,
should be
well,
ashamed.
I think a lot
think
of our
a lot
viewers
of would.
Folks.
I think a lot of them would, folks. JD, you mind those fuckable hosters in Austin? It's Austin.
Okay, so this is just... Okay, Mac was nervous when he first arrived in Houston, pacing frequently, sometimes baring his teeth in a way. Researchers have come to learn signifies fear. We know this.
We know this. We knew this.
We're not amateurs, New York Times. All right. The keepers introduced the chimps to each other one by one. Over the course of several months, they grew comfortable. Let's see here. One day, Mac shook the bamboo in his enclosure and ran on his back legs. Strange for a chimp and perhaps a behavior learned from humans while clapping his hands. The other chimpanzees either got out of the way of the dominance display or grunted and bowed at his feet. From that day forward, he was the troop's alpha male, responsible for settling spats and keeping the pace. The peace. Sorry, not the pace. Sorry, I'm still thinking on the sex tutorial. He's keeping the pace.
Yeah, he's keeping it up. Yeah, it's all about rhythm, y'all. If
dude,
didn't know.
Chimp J-O-I's.
What does that mean? No, elaborate.
Jerk off instructions.
Yeah, I'm aware of what a J-O-Y is. What does a chimp J-O-Y look like?
I don't know.
Give us some.
Imagine what's going on. Well, in the article, they said the female chimp showed him the rope, so I'm imagining they're...
You have seen a chimp jack off, so please enlighten us.
You got a video of
well,
a female
chimp. Well, it's rather easy. They're done. They're done pretty quickly.
Pussy on the video. She's just flashing it, and she goes, "Ooh, ooh, ooh. Pussy." Ooh. Ooga, ooga.
Big fucking swollen ass.
Is that how it works? They get their pussies
out. No, I know that's how it works.
What do you mean? Wait, hold on, stop. What are you, what, how, what works? I'm confused.
When the female chimps usually initiate the sex, and they do it by swelling up their big fat pussies.
Okay.
And they shove it in the male chimp's face. Like
what
Austin was saying.
Come fuck this.
Come fuck this pussy, bad boy.
What does that have to do? What does that have to do with J-O-I?
It's this tantalizingness, you know? You gotta show the goodies off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
It's usually just like a conversation. Like, you don't see anything.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know. Maybe there couldn't be a
How many
J-O-I.
Do you watch a week, Austin?
I realized I was in the chat with the fucking JOI experts. I thought we were doing like a chimpanzee like video striptease.
Maybe we're the experts.
No, I mean, you deadass said they don't show you anything, and Austin was like, true.
They don't.
Like, y'all.
What, you've never even just watched one?
I've seen a JOI before.
Did you see anything cool in there, or was it
so weird? I saw a titty.
In Oakland.
They popped a titty for me.
Bernie opened up in Oakland and has taken on the role of a jokester in his troop of six chimps. His pranks ranging from splashing water on a troupmate to giving them a whack and running away, wildly amused at himself. I'm sorry. Dean watched Most Valuable Primates when the Oakland Zoo hired him in 2023, hoping to get some insight into Bernie's past.
Can you stop? Stop talking. Time out. Stop talking for just a fucking second. In May 2014, Mac died at 20 years old after complications of anesthesia for a routine medical examination. He died on the fucking table like a dog.
No, that's common, though. I mean,
yeah,
that's probably the
most
common
cause of death.
This
is like the third or fourth time we've said this exact thing on the podcast.
Why are they so bad at anesthetizing something that's 99.97 us?
I mean,
their biology is not that much different.
Here's the thing. Anesthesiologists, for humans, they get paid outrageous salaries.
They do?
Fuck it up, and they're still, like, very highly, like, secretive, like, trades people, whatever you want to call it. They're very specialized laborers, right? Now, imagine you are trying to do that, but all of your, like, 8 years of vet school is like, here's how to do surgery on a dog, not here's how to anesthetize a human being without killing them.
You're in a fucking, like moldy ass cave.
It's just guesswork about how much you're supposed to use on these fucking things.
Yeah. Hopefully he wakes up after this. Hit the button.
You know what? If you guys give us enough money to the Patreon, I'll go to veterinary school.
Here's the thing.
You give us enough money to the Patreon, I'll let a fucking vet anesthetize me.
Okay, I'll go to vet school and then
put my ass
if you guys
down,
pay
like
for
Michael
it,
Jackson.
If you guys pay for it, I'll put down your dying cats and dogs for free.
Okay,
I get okay, to keep man. The bodies though for whatever I want to do with them.
No,
he's gonna fuck that cat.
Ew, God no! I was thinking about making a big homunculus, a big ball.
That's worse, man.
Somehow worse, actually. That's worse. So, I missed that, but.
Austin is like skipping like three or four paragraphs at a time every time he starts reading.
Well, because I'm trying to get through the fucking. There's a lot of details in New York Times articles that are simply not interesting. I'm sorry to say.
It's just the author trying to you know,
like fill the empty space with some bullshit.
They get paid by the word, unironically.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
All right, well,
okay.
Bernie turns 32 this month.
Wait. The point I was trying to make, though, before I got distracted by the JOI stuff was that the reason why, like, animal care facilities of any type, of any manner, whether it's a sanctuary, nonprofit, zoo, medical research place, the reason why they want to push so hard on the positive reinforcement training, we've talked about positive reinforcement training before, but voluntary vet care, like training a monkey to present his arm, get his blood drawn, and not freak the fuck out and kill you, basically. The reason they want to do that is because otherwise they have to take this gamble with anesthesia every time they want to do something really simple, like this is probably fine to say. My place has been extremely lacking in that regard because they are basically just refusing to give any funding to the idea of like a fully dedicated training staff. So whenever would they want to do anything,
yeah. If you could train a monkey, would you train a monkey?
I could do it, but they're not going to hire me because they don't want to set aside the budget for it. They think
they're
it's like, oh, whatever.
You think they're going to pay you more to do that?
So even very routine things like tuberculosis skin testing or shaving little bits of fur patterns for, you know, identifying the monkeys, they have to like put them under for, because otherwise the monkeys could fucking gonna freak out and bite them and all that. So it's a gamble. It's something that you is constantly being like, it's not like complete guesswork, obviously, but there's always the chance that when you go under, like, sorry to fuel anyone's paranoia or OCD here, but there's always the chance that when you go under, you're just never going to wake up again.
Yeah.
Can we just scroll down a little bit here about and talk about Bernie now? Because you're making this so sad.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just looking at the picture of Bernie just soy jacking with this cantaloupe.
He is kind of soy jacking
this
with
this
cantaloupe.
This needs to be the cover
cantaloupe.
For the episode.
In Oakland, Bernie has taken on the role of jokester in his troop of 6 chimpanzees. His pranks, ranging from splashing water on a troop mate to giving them a whack and running away wildly, amuse himself. Then they chase him around and give him a few wallops, Deanne, the zoological manager, says.
Deanne, I guess.
Deanne. Oh, did you read this part?
No, I did. They said the name earlier. I thought it was Dean.
It is Dean.
It's Deanne, obviously.
It could be Dean, though.
It's Deanne.
Deanne has 2 N's.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Despite his like antics, Bernie, who turns 32 this month, is a well-liked member of the troop. He's early to bed, early to rise, often waking
He's
up his fellow
like
chimps.
Me.
You know me, too, yeah. Dean watched Most Valuable Primate when the Oakland Zoo hired him in 2023, hoping to get some insight into Bernie's
past. Yeah, I accidentally
past.
Skipped ahead to this part. But
as he took in the film, he found himself wondering what the chimp's life would have looked like had he not been in the movies. There are definitely things about him that lead us all to believe that he missed out on certain things, and he's still dealing with that to this day, and will for the entirety of his life.
His inability to breed is most glaring.
And then there's just the picture right above this, and he's like the most unfuckable chimp ever.
I would
fuck
my
stupid incel chimp life. Dave, that's the real problem with chimps in Hollywood movies, is they make these fucking incel, unlovable chud incel chimps.
He's just holding a fucking like Caleb dick this.
It's really good. It's really good. He also has a fascination with footwear. I guess
they
put him
in
weird fucking ice skates.
That's a common thing, actually, I think.
It's like your cat that sticks their whole fucking head in your shoe every single time you take it off.
Concrete.
Well, at the Center for Great Apes in Florida, they also have an orangutan who was in the entertainment industry who is obsessed with shoes. And I'm not sure if it was because they were often made to wear shoes or if they just encountered shoes a lot more in the industry or something. But
maybe, yeah.
Like, he would like try to untie your shoes if you got too close, basically.
Maybe it's just that like you got like a million shoes like in wardrobe or something.
Maybe.
And they just play with the shoes.
The zookeepers actually have to tell workers not to wear boots to the chimpanzee exhibit while the trainers are with the animals because Bernie gets too distracted. Interesting.
We think Bernie's low key.
He's a little autistic, I think. I mean, look at him with
his hyperfixation is
his boots.
So, with chimpanzee use falling out of favor in Hollywood, activists and politicians have continued their efforts against private primate ownership. It's not going too well.
You skipped the part where Louis likes eating snow
and sucking his thumb.
You just like me. I love eating snow and sucking my thumb.
Okay, you like sucking a lot of things.
Skipping ahead again.
Did you suck your thumb as a kid?
Probably, man. Yeah.
You don't remember?
No.
Did you suck your thumb as a kid, Austin?
I don't remember, man.
All right, I stuck my thumb until I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Embarrassing. You should be executed for that.
Yeah, they're supposed to stop you from doing that after a certain
age. You know what? It was hard. And you know what? It's funny because there should have been something obvious about my hand-to-mouth addiction.
Your oral fixation?
I've got an oral fixation for a certain someone in this call.
It's that fucking vape pen.
I'm gonna put a cigarette out on it.
It's what the Maryland zookeepers call a boy day. Louis is in the
boy day.
Boy day! Yay! Okay.
Anytime the three of us meet up is a boy day.
Straight up. Louis is in the outside exhibit with his half brother Jack and another chimp named Kasohe, I'm guessing. Kasohe? I don't know.
Kasohe was probably right the first time. Probably right.
Yeah, but it could be like they usually don't. They usually try to do like African names for chimpanzees.
You think Kasohe is not like an African word?
Kasohe is maybe more African.
I don't know. Do they have like a J as a huh sound in African languages?
We're
in any of them.
Kasohe is a place in Tanzania.
See, thank you.
Got it. Okay.
They will do this embrace where they get to see each other. But, oh, sorry. They will do this embrace when they get to see each other. I thought they were going to describe
the embrace.
There's just
so much joy and excitement when they're together. It's just like us, y'all.
It's just like we tend
to
embrace.
We're like usually Soyjack and like these three fucking idiots too.
Yeah. Let's see. He's fond of watching guests. Right, these chimps tend to end up being more human fixated than a normal chimpanzee would be when they spend time in the entertainment industry because they've just been trained to pay attention to humans, you know? It's like dogs. Oh, interesting point about that, actually. You know how I've always been like, yeah, I think part of the reason why dogs are easier to train is because they're so evolutionarily steered towards giving humans their full attention, right? Apparently, some of my coworkers who have been at this place way longer than I have, back when they used to still have dogs in research at this facility, the dogs that were bred in research programs and stayed there their entire lives did not care about humans at all. Like, did not even, like, pay attention to them. They would just sort of, like, when you open the door, you expect a dog to start wagging its tail and like, oh boy, give me pets, give me food. Nothing. They didn't give a fuck.
Damn. I guess maybe the structure of their lives or the routine of their life is so structured that like food comes when it comes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, it's
because a dog learns it can beg you for food and you'll give it food. You know.
I mean, it goes to show that like, even like my conception of animal intelligence was, you know, a lot more flexible than I had even thought of. Because, I mean, dogs are communicating with us intentionally all the time, and they would be a completely different animal if they weren't with us. You know, it's so you can see why these chimps act like they could reasonably fit in when they're young and not so fucking strong that they realize they can just beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Because like most animals can be trained to communicate in one weird way or another with humans, I feel like.
And some functional type of communication.
In some functional type of way. Not like meaningful, you know, hand signs or anything meaningful, but yeah. No, I don't
know.
But,
like, you know, the way that you know your dog wants you to, you know, come hang out with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Louis, who Dombrowski calls probably the sweetest chimp I've ever encountered, gives away food when others are begging, and he's great with the four juvenile chimps in the group. Recently, when something scared one-year-old Ivy, she ran into Louis's arms. He patted her on the back until she calmed down. That's actually really cute. I've never really known chimps to voluntarily any primate to voluntarily give food to each other, because they've tried to do this in like studies, but again, this is in research environments where, you know, like maybe it's not even that. Maybe part of the problem with research studies where they like try to figure, oh, is this a natural behavior that our ancestors do, is, well, when you're putting them in an unnatural environment where there's no social impetus to share food with one another, of course, they're not going to show any signs of altruism, but you know, it's.
But I do think
you could also make the argument that, like, oh, he's only doing this because he's been so thoroughly socialized by humans as well. But
I mean,
still,
who knows? I feel like typically, whenever we think about or talk about chimps, whatever, like we Maybe, yeah, actually, no, you're right. I have no idea if all of our knowledge of, like, oh, they just, the parents will say, will take all the food that they want and then let the kids get the scraps if they can get it. Maybe, I don't know if that's observed in nature, if that's observed in research facilities at a, you know, in the majority of cases. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, I've talked about this where, you know, dominance hierarchies do have, like, this sort of trade-off where, like, yeah, at the top of the hierarchy, you are getting dibs of the most food, but you got to, like, really fight for that food. So even if you're at the very bottom of that hierarchy and you're really just getting scraps, they're not going to starve you to death unless, like, there was actually, like, famine conditions leading to probably more monkeys than just... Like, you would be the first monkey to starve to death in the event of some kind of drought.
But they're all dying, like, anyway.
Assuming that, you know, there's enough food, if you're in the troop, they're not going to just starve you to death. They're just not going to make you fight for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's a more meager living, but... You don't have to get your ass beat for food, so.
And you know, kind of that's all the life that we've chosen, if you think about it.
In a way,
you know, that's true, Chandra.
Yeah,
it's me. We're reinventing from first principles the Jordan Peterson like manosphere. We have to fucking kill each other for food. We have to be alphas or else we're worthless.
If we're not alphas, then what are we? What are we, Austin?
Omegas.
Well, you, maybe.
Okay, so
now,
I also
anybody
had...
knows how to breed.
Let's finish up this article.
Yeah.
So
I crack you up on like some crab legs.
The keepers design enrichment exercises.
You
can
eat it or something, man. Take a breath. Have a cold glass of water or something. Damn.
The keepers design enrichment exercises to fill the chimps' days. As part of one, the keepers use a DVD player to show movies to the animals. Shut up. Louis usually stops to watch a bit longer than most of his troop mates. The chimpanzees, popcorn in tow, tend to like animated movies such as Shrek, but they're sometimes gripped by seeing apes or monkeys on screen. With that in mind, the staff mixes in a particular kids' movie a couple of times a year, one with a star performance from a chimpanzee in their midst, still feeling its impact. So honestly, it
imagine
is kind of
being cool. In the fucking, you know, chimp.
Is that,
you know,
is that
the
like
chimp enclosure?
a washed yeah. up Hollywood star watching their own movie in like a fucking like drug pen? Like
if I was Mel Gibson, I'd be watching Braveheart.
Look, that's me. All right, buddy.
You know, top comment on this article here in the archive, from John R. Buffalo needs to sign them.
Yeah. Hey, no, we don't need to sign them anymore. The Buffalo Sabres are on a 9-game winning streak. We're actually in contention.
That's gonna keep you from doing it when you guys lose in the playoffs, huh?
Theoretically in contention for the Stanley Cup. Theoretically.
Oh, theoretically. You're theoretically in the running for the Super Bowl still. What's the realistic on that?
I think they're like the 8th favorite.
You guys have like a high school wide receiver core. When you guys lose to the Patriots again, what are you going to do?
I had to stop myself. Well, everyone at home, Google Timothy McVeigh.
You're going to blow up a fucking a preschool?
You're going to blow up Highmark Stadium. You're going to blow up Highmark.
I didn't say that at all, but.
He could blow up a daycare.
I didn't say that. However, did you know that Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, became so full of despair and hatred and antipathy towards this world because he was a Buffalo Bills fan and he watched the 4 losses in a row?
Is that true?
Yeah, no, that's part of the reason why he went insane is because he saw that happen 4 times and was just like, fuck it, dude, I'm going to blow something up.
What if we just...
All I'm saying, if we had to deal with 4 straight Super Bowl losses, 20 years of Tom Brady Patriots, mm-hmm. 5 years of losing to Mahomes in the playoffs, and then he's finally gone. Tom Brady's retired. Mahomes is out. The Chiefs aren't even in the playoffs. If all that happens just to lose to the Patriots in the wild card round again, buddy. I'm gonna make him.
Are you scared of a little Drake May dynasty, dude?
I'm gonna make him look like a fucking Boy Scout.
I think it's because you built that stadium on a fucking native burial ground.
You know, that is one of the going theories. That is one
you're
of
building
the going
a new
theory.
One in the former parking lot of the old one, which is also still on the Native American graveyard.
It's one of the theories. It's one of the theories for sure.
Well, it's either that or O.J. Simpson is from beyond the grave ensuring no one will ever beat the Jews.
What I meant is O.J. was alive for most of those horrific
And
O.J. failures.
Was threatening death on the coaching staff. I don't know. You guys are just going to go back to being like the Bengals of the North soon.
I don't want it to happen.
Who's gonna?
Do you think there's actually Buffalo. A chance y'all get a Super Bowl with Mr. Allen?
I think there's no chance.
Small chance, but it's possible.
I think it's over. Like, he's going down like Tony Romo, dog. Like a generational talent wasted on a fucking team that couldn't carry him to the end.
Speaking of Buffalo, I had a couple other things slated.
Speaking of Buffalo, you were just there 2 days ago.
Well, yeah, I had a couple other things slated for this episode, but the bulk of it we did not even get close to addressing. We'll talk about that next.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that at some episode. Later time. Mm-hmm.
Not next episode because we have a special guest.
We do have a special guest planned for next episode.
We do indeed. You know, folks. Before we go,
didn't even let me finish the last things I had. Hold
Whatever
on, man.
You were saying wasn't good.
Someone sent a bomb threat to the Miami Zoo.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, man, I was going to talk about the fact
Excuse
that someone
you.
Sent a bomb
Not
threat.
The Miami Zoo. To Zoo Miami.
Zoo Miami. Like Zoo Miami. Atlanta. It can't be the Atlanta Zoo or the Miami Zoo. It's got to be Zoo Miami or Zoo Atlanta.
Why?
What's up with that? Can someone answer that for
Zoo
me?
Zoo Atlanta was right there. Why didn't they do that?
I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, actually, no, that's not that good.
Yeah. ATL, man. You need the ATL.
No, you fucking don't.
Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Shut up. Zoolantha doesn't work.
Anyways.
Why
yeah,
doesn't
nothing,
Charlotte have a zoo? We need a zoo.
Because we have the Asheboro Zoo. We don't need a zoo.
Let's get our own zoo.
We not going to be better than
the
Asheboro
Zoo.
Zoo.
Where the
zoo
fuck are we going to put
we've
a, zoo
a
in
zoo.
Charlotte? Also, there is a zoo on Lake Norman. It's the bad one where the monkey escaped and got hit by a car.
Oh, true.
That's the Columbia Zoo, isn't it?
No, that's Lake Norman. That's Zootastic on Lake Norman. Yeah.
You know, I sent you guys a text about a zoo that nobody ever answered. I just sent the word of the name of the zoo because I was at work the other day and an old cleaning man came in to tell me that his wife just went. They went to some place. The hell is it called?
Yeah, I just sometimes I know to just like, okay,
Holly
honey,
Wild.
That's nice, honey. Oh. Let's get you to bed, Greg.
You know what?
I'm gonna touch you. I'm gonna touch you. You
Don't
know
whisper that.
That.
The JOI is starting, y'all.
The JOI is starting.
I want you to take it out right now. Start stroking.
Okay. All right. I'm
Stroke for
on
me.
Uh-huh.
Life is okay. All. Just pump. You just pump and then you die. Pump for me.
Can we
right
get
now.
A metronome sound?
Pump for me right just now. Pump it, 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 pump it.
Are you daddy's little cooner?
Okay, no. No!
I truly think you should upload this episode totally unedited.
Just not even uncut.
You could.
The way we are.
It's marked explicit. It's fine. They can't arrest us for this shit.
So, speaking of Buffalo, you ruined the segues, but
speaking of Buffalo,
the other thing I wanted to talk about was
Buffalo.
Breakfast the Pig runs loose through Buffalo neighborhood.
Is that just what you call the
There's just
pit?
This video. It's quite funny. What started as a quiet afternoon on Victor Place in the Hamlin Park Historic District in Buffalo turned into chaos.
There.
Yeah. When a pig nicknamed Breakfast bolted through the neighborhood. One woman says she was knocked to the ground as the animal charged toward her before the owner and the animal control officers chased it down.
I don't know how this pig knocks you down. It's the size of a small dog.
But, and also, why do you need animal control to go get a pig?
Just pick him up.
I don't know. They, shoot these
him.
Refer-
why
no?
Why
this
shoot
is
him?
Buffalo, New York.
His name's Breakfast.
How common is it for someone to have experience with like a real... Okay. Pigs are like a little bit scary. Like they're not scary, but they're a little bit scary when they're just fucking like charging at you.
I kick him in the fucking head.
That's true. They are designed to charge at things.
I get charged by any animal, I'm kicking it in the head.
Yeah, but they're dense little fuckers. I think you're
gonna
matter.
He's still gonna have CTE.
I think you're gonna be surprised. So
I would not kick him. Okay, I wouldn't kick a pig. I just want that for the record. I wouldn't kick a pig. That'd be a mean thing.
I would also
charging
not
kick, you.
Yeah,
what if he's charging you?
I would like get out of the way. I would take one step to the side.
I'm not gonna walk up to.
It's not a bull. It's not gonna kill me. Like I'm just gonna.
I wouldn't try
walk
to kick
away.
A bull.
And pigs can bite too. Is the other thing. They can and will bite you.
I will eat that motherfucker.
So, Jerome Shadwick, resident of Buffalo, shouts, "What was that?" I screamed down to her and said, "Babe,
Shadwick?
Get to the door!"
Jerome Shadwick, resident of Buffalo, New York?
Yeah.
I can see this guy in my head.
What is this? What is this? It's an actual pig. This is, I guess, a transcript of the video. And the video is a pig darting around in circles and the animal control officers just sort of chasing after it like some kind of fucking... like Scooby-Doo chase scene. Never seen a pig, Shadwick added. Like I said, chances there's not that many pigs in fucking
it's an actual pig
Buffalo.
never seen a pig, Shadwick added.
Renita Shadwick said the pig charged at her. It was on me and it grabbed me by my hair like you'd shake a bag of microwave popcorn.
What? I'm sorry. Video... No. Have you ever shaked a bag of microwave? What is she talking about?
No, when you pop it and you want to shake it up to get all the butter and salt all over all the kernels.
Or well, I just kind of smush it around while I'm letting it out. You know, that's what I do.
No. But once it's already popped, you gotta.
I know. I just smush it around.
You smash your popcorn?
Sorry.
What is the purpose of that?
To get the butter and salt out. I just smush it around a little bit, you know?
You shake it!
Okay, you know, I'll shake it up next time.
You learned something from Mrs. Shadwick.
I guess I did. You know what? I have to kill myself now. Somebody from Buffalo apparently knows something I don't know.
So, in the video taken by Shadwick, what appears to be a Buffalo police officer runs towards the animal and shouts, "That's mine. I got what?"
In the video, Jerome Shadwick,
it's the
full bills gear.
Wait, it's the
full
cop's pig? Hold on.
Wait, what?
What appears to be a Buffalo police officer runs toward the animal and shouts, "That's mine. I got her." The pig, he yells, is named Breakfast.
What? Maybe he's just like you know, like when you're playing like basketball, like you can't play volleyball. Like, mine! You know, like you call it to go get the ball.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
No, they wouldn't. If the pig was owned by a cop, I would think that would be a bigger story. I would think that would be really
funny. A little too much irony there.
Yeah. City code. 7 News reached out to city officials to ask whether owning a pig is allowed within Buffalo city limits. No one responded.
Neighbors told 7 News the officer later took the pig home.
That's what? This fucking dumbass fucking Buffalo cop. I can.
You know, these kids, every time I go out there, they keep shouting pig at me. Maybe I should go get a pig or something. I don't know. You know, every time I go out there, these kids are shouting, fuck you,
Buffalo
pig.
Buffalo cops more than anything in the world. It's
fucking insane to me.
Fucking Cheektowaga and Buffalo police officers, most racist creatures to walk this earth.
Most racist.
I was in Buffalo, in this area, generally speaking. I was just driving down the road. There was a black man walking down the road, minding his business, and a police car drove by, saw the black guy on the sidewalk, slammed on the brakes, fucking whipped around, jumped over the curb with the car and turned on the lights and jumped out of the car to ask this guy where he was going. Like a ravenous dude.
I think all cops are racist. Hot take. Hot take.
But but the ones in Western New York are uniquely evil.
I considered being a prison guard.
It's, what, when that, was this? You know, when was this?
Like 3 weeks ago. I was like, what if I went and was like a fucking prison guard?
You're like, I'm gonna be a woke prison guard. I'm gonna like slip them literature.
No, I'm just gonna just be there and
you'd be an unethical one, normal one.
Yeah, an unethical prison guard.
Yes. I'm gonna be like those I'm gonna say this in a way where you don't have to edit the episode. A certain type of woman who lives in Houston, they post online that they just got the job, and the job is prison guard at the Houston fucking jail. All right? That's how I would be moving. Just like that.
Okay.
Just like that, okay? I would get my nails did. All right?
Nikki.
I'd be out there full face. Full face. Okay?
What kind of face? Sorry.
Full face of makeup. Listen here. I know that because you a selfie out
from this
online
angle specifically, kind of hitting it.
Yeah. Here, uh-huh. Or like it's the worst ass you've ever seen, but like in a grimy ass mirror in a dirty ass bathroom.
Yeah, you have the uniform on. Uniform's on.
For now,
uniform brown, always brown on. Name tag on. Visible. Name tag visible.
Breakfast the pig is back home, but neighbors say they RN. Won't soon forget the day a pig went rogue on their block. Council member Zanita Everhart released the following statement on the matter. I was alarmed by the incident involving a pig attacking a resident on Victor Place. I did notify Buffalo Police of the incident when it occurred.
And they said, yeah, I know.
I know, it's my pig. I've been in contact with the victim, and I'm grateful that the injuries they sustained were not more serious. However, what happened to the resident is unacceptable. The city charter forbids ownership of livestock animals throughout Buffalo, except under some very limited circumstances. And we should revisit these regulations to determine whether it makes sense to have any more exceptions to the ban in our modern era. As this incident illustrates, it is neither safe for residents nor humane to animals to raise large livestock in an urban environment like Buffalo.
You know, maybe I'm not woke enough, but like, is it really an issue if you own a pig in Buffalo? It's a fucking pig. Like, they don't care.
It's a goddamn shithole city, dude.
Yeah, it's exactly where it needs
Look,
to be.
It's the Alabama. It's Mobile, Alabama. But
it's Mobile.
North.
It's like a worse Cleveland.
Like, I think
that's not fair. It's a better Gary.
It is better than Gary.
But not by as much as you'd think.
Niagara Falls is worse than Buffalo, but it's also kind of
Niagara Falls at least has some shit to see.
It's got a very beautiful sight, but there's also needles on the ground.
There's needles on the ground in Asheville.
Dude, I would love to do some heroin and watch the falls.
Have we ever thought about giving up?
Dude, we could all move to... Dude, houses in Niagara Falls, New York are like probably like $100,000.
I already did a year in Vermont. I'm not going to someplace snowier.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen those... There's videos going around because as I was leaving Buffalo in the morning was when the really bad ice storm was happening with like 80 mile per hour winds, right? And all of my safety features of my vehicle got taken off because the sensors were frozen over. Like I got out of the car and everything was just like completely just, I had to chisel it off. Point being though, there's a video of the shore of Lake Erie where someone was like, dude, who left their car here? Like this BMW had all of its windows down and everything inside was completely frozen because the lake, the waves were physically like reaching out over the fucking shore and hitting this car. That's how bad the wind was. It turns out it was a stolen car. So, you know, it just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it's still there. If you're in Buffalo right now, go look at the frozen BMW. Yeah.
We should give up.
You know, honestly, once I sell this house, I should just like go buy some.
Why are you selling the house that you just got?
I don't know. In a couple of years, I'm gonna sell it and then leave South Carolina.
And what are you gonna buy? Because housing just only goes this way.
Not if there's something a collapse,
that's
not buddy.
This expensive. This is a really, really, really fucking big house. You gotta realize. I don't need a house this big.
Yeah, you do. You imagine all the stuff you could put in there?
I have so much stuff, though. It's great.
You should buy more stuff.
Hey, if I get this fucking job, I'm going to fucking Vienna, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, I went to Emin to
the
ask
the most
you this.
Racist like, country in the world.
How hard is it to do the teach English overseas thing?
Oh.
You did it.
It wasn't hard. But, like, you know, most things
are
hard.
You just pay for the class, and then did
I didn't
they
pay
place
for
you?
I didn't pay for it.
Okay.
I don't know how hard it is, man. I was in school. My parents paid for it
all.
Were
drunk
I went
the whole
over
time.
There.
I don't know. I was
drunk the whole time.
Did they place you in the job, though, or did you have to find it?
They could have. But no.
Okay,
they,
let's wrap up, though. Let's wrap
okay,
up.
Okay, okay.
So next episode, we're going to have a guest on. It's going to be interesting.
Yes.
After that,
who's our guest? You don't want to tell the people who our guest is?
Paul Koberstein.
And what did he write? What book did he write?
It was Canopy of Titans: The Life and Times of the Great North American Temperate Rainforest. He reached out to us.
Yeah, he reached out to us. He wanted to be on the show, so I guess
he did.
You know, yeah. We're going to put him on the show.
If you or your loved ones would like to be on the show, shoot us a fucking email.
Yeah, we'll put you on the damn show if you ask.
I'll put anybody on the fucking show. You don't have to know shit about monkeys. You just come on the show.
You have to know a little bit about monkeys.
A little bit. You got to have a favorite.
Yeah, you got to have a favorite monkey. You got to maybe, you know, like, have read a book before. Not about monkeys, but like a book.
You don't even have to have written a book. You can just have read a book before.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just, anybody can be on a podcast.
You have to be literate.
You do have to be literate. I'm not talking to a fucking moron.
I talk to morons every single fucking day of my life, okay?
Those are students. Do you think one day, like, Palantir, like, they're going to, you know, index this podcast, and the three of us are going to have to, we're going to have to open up like a fucking taco stand.
I would love to open a taco stand. Do you know open how fucking fire my tacos would be? I would cook some
good
tacos.
You're going to make them on naan? That would go crazy.
No, that's racist.
No, it's not. It sounds delicious.
Okay, don't tell
Indian
me what's
so,
delicious. Boy. I don't want to hear
my point.
Hear.
Listen here, white
after
boy.
We have, after we have Paul in the show, I want to do an episode about monkey meat. I'm going to throw
we're
you guys
Paul Verhoeven on after we get this Paul on.
Yeah, we got Paul Koberstein exactly. And Paul Verhoeven, and then monkey meat.
Yeah. I'm not going to elaborate beyond monkey meat, but if you saw it on Twitter, then you'll know vaguely what the conversation will take
that,
shape like.
Is it, you talking about the mummified?
Oh, the horrified.
You'll
horrifying, like the rotting monkey carcass someone brought into this country.
Was not rotting, but we'll get into that.
Buddy. I could see its brain and its eye sockets. It was not in good shape.
Let me just... Okay. It was cooked very, very thoroughly.
That's one way to say it.
It wasn't
rotting.
And
it had been cooked very, very thoroughly a while ago.
I don't know. I think it was just charred. And we're going to address this episode carefully. I want you guys to, like, maybe look into it a bit yourselves. As in, like,
you two.
Yeah, yeah. Because this is...
He's telling me it's not his job to educate me right now.
The thing that happened, and we're not going to get too into it, but...
Okay.
African immigrants to America sometimes ask their family members to bring a nostalgic dish with them when they come to visit in America, being monkey meat. We are currently seeing a massive uptick in racist discrimination against particularly like Somalian and other
African
immigrant, like Eritrean, Somalian.
We are.
So we're going to broach this topic carefully. I realize that we have to broach it carefully. I think like when we talked about monkey meat last episode, I think we're going to have to be a bit more careful than that even, because
on the money, we're going to be on the money on that one.
Yeah, so yeah, we're gonna sit our white asses down and listen, but like anyways.
But
we'll see you when it happens. Well, we're gonna have a fucking nuanced discussion, all right, motherfucker. We're nuanced.
Okay. Anyway, folks,
that wasn't just you guys. I'm yelling at the audience.
Oh well, the audience,
you better be
prepared.
Barely
human.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank my barely human audience for listening to yet another episode of the Real Radio Show. If you really like this, if you like what we're doing, if you enjoy the content, please, 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 if you aren't already, go subscribe to our Patreon. You get extra episodes every month. You get a blooper reel. You get a bunch of other random shit. You get,
I mean,
Discord
there's
access,
like several...
There are several tiers of membership and several things that you
well,
can
the,
get.
Well, there's like several dozen hours of podcasts
well,
that you just instantly unlock.
Yeah, we
like,
release...
It's probably about 100 hours of extra content.
We release one bonus episode per month, sometimes two per month. And we've been doing that for over 2 years now, I think.
Yeah, and we've like got three. A blooper reel just about every one of those months.
We've Shit, got we've been doing it for 3 years now. You guys got 3 years of podcasts.
If you guys
podcasts,
aren't listening to the blooper reels, you should. It'll make you feel like you're our friend in the room
yeah.
with us.
Yeah,
you're just,
and then you'll be inclined.
Like, silent.
And if we can convince Austin not to edit this episode, you're gonna get a little bit
of
that feeling.
A little taste of what it is.
A little bit of that taste of what it is.
No, for real, if you like this shit, please, you know, tell your friends about the show, let them listen in, and then... You know, and then after that, after they already like this show, you can really hammer it home that they should also subscribe to the Patreon. We'd love to do this
also,
as our job.
It would make me happy.
It would make me happy. We'd love
Dude,
to do
I
this as our jobs.
To...
Let us do this as our jobs. We would love to do that.
I've noticed that, here's the thing, I've noticed that the pod's earnings haven't been growing ever since the economy has been getting worse, but the economy hasn't stopped getting worse for some time now. It's been getting worse for years, and it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm sure we could easily, it's partially just our fault, you know,
we need to get on some other podcasts, I think.
But also, the economy is just never getting better. If you can't afford it, you know, like, man, I don't
know.
We're
not very good at, like, promoting ourselves. We struggle to kind of... morally, like, sell out in that way and, like, do things that might get us more viewership.
I don't know
like,
if selling
please...
out is the word. I
but
think
it's less weird if you recommend us to your friends.
Yeah,
it's less weird.
It is less weird if you recommend us to your friends. Like, recommend us. I think we make a good show. It's very funny. We're not always
show.
Very serious. But, like, we do you know, give some good information. We interact with everybody. We do our damnedest. And, again, we really would, like, even if this isn't like we can quit our jobs... But if I don't have to worry, if Austin doesn't have to worry, if Chandler doesn't have to worry, like, and we can make enough money on this to, like, pay some of our bills, especially in the economic climate we're in right now, you know, if you at home can give me $5 and, you know, 200 of you are doing that, like, it makes life a little easier for everybody. And the more money that we're able to bring in, the more we're able to do things for people, do things for primates, do things for our viewers if they like. We do things. We do shit.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, we have given a percentage of our proceeds to monkey charities. It's, anyways. Well,
we care about what we're talking about. We care about not only just primates, but like conservation as a whole. It's very important to all of us. As much as I may joke about kicking a pig, I we care very deeply. About
yeah,
animal conservation.
Well, let me be clear. Everything on this podcast that everything on this podcast that could possibly negatively reflect on our character was a joke, and everything that reflects well on our character is completely sincere. So
mm-hmm. yeah. deadly serious.
By the way.
But yeah, totally. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back on America's favorite holiday, January 6th, to record a new episode.
Okay, man.
Stay strong, Sixers.
Okay, bye.
Bye, everyone.
See you, y'all.